Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Walk. Your host is Patty Compton Christopher. Throughout our program today, with testimonies of healing through God's power and with Patty's personal walk with God, you'll be enlightened to make choices that can truly change your life. And now, your host, Patty Compton Christopher.
Good morning. It's so good to have you with us on this first week of Advent. You are listening to Walk, and this is your host, Patty Compton Christopher. On this show, we discuss our daily walk with God. My hope is to awaken thought to the healing Christ as a very present help today, not just something that happened during biblical times. Right now, we can be healed of whatever ails us, whether it is physical, mental, economic, marital, or other relationships, job-related, whatever distresses or depresses, we can be healed of it. So take up your bed of sorrows, anxieties, illnesses, and complaints, and walk. Just like the man who had lain at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years walked when Christ Jesus gave that command, you too can walk. Because with God, all things are possible. This week's show is entitled, Why Christian Science is Christian and Not a Cult. I'd like to start by saying, first of all, Christian Science is not Scientology. I'd like to read from the Bible, passages from Mark, and it is the 16th chapter of Mark, starting with the 15th verse. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a wonderful word of hope to all those suffering people. I chose this theme for the first week of Advent because of Mary Baker Eddy's love of Christmas and Christ Jesus. I'd love to start off with one of Mrs. Eddy's poems entitled, Blessed Christmas Morn. It seems to be the perfect for the Christmas season, of course, and it speaks to her understanding and love of the Christ. Blessed Christmas morn, though murky clouds pursue thy way, thy light was born where storm enshrouds nor dawn nor day. Dear Christ, forever here and near, no cradle song, no natal hour and mother's tear to thee belong. Thou God idea, life encrowned, the Bethlehem babe, beloved, replete, by flesh embound, was but thy shade. Thou gentle beam of living love and deathless life, truth infinite, so far above all mortal strife or cruel creed or earth-born taint. Fill us today with all thou art. Be thou our saint, our stay, alway. And that's the end of the poem. I love her beautiful description of the Christ as thou gentle beam of living love and deathless life. It is such an apt description of our Master Christ Jesus, who not only taught us how to love our neighbor, but also demonstrated that love in his healing life. He certainly was that gentle beam of living love. And his resurrection and subsequent ascension showed us that life is deathless. This poem so perfectly reflects Mrs. Eddy's deep adoration and devotion to God and his Son, Christ Jesus. She truly loved Christmas and sought a more devout way of celebrating it than was commonly done. In her article, What Christmas Means to Me, which was written for the Ladies Home Journal, Mrs. Eddy says, I celebrate Christmas with my soul, my spiritual sense, and so commemorate the entrance into human understanding of the Christ conceived of spirit, of God, and not of a woman, as the birth of truth, the dawn of divine love, breaking upon the gloom of matter and evil, with the glory of infinite being. Further on, she states, Christmas to me is the reminder of God's great gift, his spiritual idea, man and the universe, a gift which so transcends mortal, material, sensual giving that the merriment, mad ambition, rivalry, and ritual of our common Christmas seem a human mockery in mimicry of the real worship in commemoration of Christ's coming. I love to observe Christmas in quietude, humility, benevolence, charity, letting goodwill towards men, eloquent silence, prayer, and praise express my conception of truth's appearing. The splendor of this nativity of Christ reveals infinite meanings and gives manifold blessings. Material gifts and pastimes tend to obliterate the spiritual idea in consciousness, leaving one alone and without his glory. That's the end of the quote. Mrs. Eddy's devotion to God and his Christ was the central point of her life. Her discovery of how Christ Jesus healed and her desire to share this with the world was the purpose of writing her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She wholeheartedly expected that all her fellow Christians would embrace the truth contained therein. In the book, she describes how the application of the laws of God healed disease and overcome sin and death. In fact, the last 100 pages have testimonies from people healed just by reading the book. She was surprised and disappointed that whereas some in the general population accepted her book wholeheartedly, many Christian denominations did not accept it, even though it was clearly Christian and absolutely Bible-based. The persecution which followed her supporters impelled her to establish the first Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Its mission, as stated on page 17 of the church manual, was, quote, to commemorate the word and works of our Master, which should reinstate primitive Christianity and its lost element of healing, end quote. Mrs. Eddy became the pastor of the church and preached for quite a while. I'd like to take a little break, and then I want to come back and tell you a little bit about idolizing and why she stepped away from the pulpit. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Walk, and this is Patty Compton Christopher, and we're talking about why Christian Science is Christian and not a cult.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. The Christian Science Practitioner's Office is here for you for Christ-centered healing. Matthew 19:26 says, "All things are possible with God." Call area code 504-833-5511 for healing. Also, check out these websites for reliable information on Christian Science. In New Orleans, visit www.christianscienceneworleans.org. In other parts of Louisiana, visit www.christiansciencelouisiana.com or see the national website at www.christianscience.com. Vocally Studio Supplies, where you buy your vocal studio supplies for a song. Find our webpage at www.vocallystudiosupplies.net, where you can learn more about the vocal technique and products offered. Then, shop us at www.vocallystudiosupplies.com, where we have a variety of products, including books, posters, CDs, sheet music, breath control aids, and complete teaching packages. Vocal E Studio Supplies. Professional tools equal professional results. Visit VocalEStudioSupplies.com and .net today. Be the change. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. Listening to Walk. To reach Patty Compton Christopher, send us an email to walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. That is walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. Now, back to Walk.
Well, we're back again with Walk, and our topic is why Christian Science is Christian and not a cult. And for those of you who have tuned in just now, I'm going to start this segment with Christian Science has nothing to do with Scientology. As we discussed before, Mrs. Eddy was the pastor of the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts, and she preached there for quite a while. When she decided to step away from the pulpit, she selected certain advanced students of Christian Science who were either excellent speakers or even former preachers to deliver the weekly sermon. Later, these preachers were also removed from the pulpit because Mrs. Eddy noted that after she stepped down from preaching, there was a tendency for the people to idolize those dynamic preachers who stood in her place. Thus, she developed the current standard of Christian Science service, in which each branch church elects readers for a term of 3 years to read from the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Now, I said each branch church, but that also includes the mother church. Each church and a society, and these would be smaller gatherings of people who are not quite big enough to maybe have a church. In these services, the first reader reads from Science and Health, and the second reader reads from the Bible. But the second reader reads first in the service, and the first reader reads second in the service. So there we have the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I love that. Now, each of these Bible lessons, or lesson sermons as we call them, which is, we have like 26 subjects, which are read twice a year with variations in them. They're not exact duplicates, but the subjects are the same. Each one of those is developed by a committee of Bible scholars. And these lesson sermons are being read on Sundays all over the world in every Christian Science church and society. And what I love about that is that when you're traveling, you know that you can go to any church or society, and you will have the exact same lesson, and so you will receive all that you need from God that day, the same as what you've been studying. And it's just so uplifting, and it's so reassuring, so that you feel that you're home always. And you are, because, of course, you carry home with you. Home is God. Now, these readings come from both the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Bible. And the spiritual interpretation of the Scriptures comes from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. This is the Christian Science textbook. Now, notice I referred to it as the textbook. It's not a Christian Science Bible, as some rumors describe it as that, but it truly is not our Bible. There is only one Bible, and Mrs. Eddy certainly only called it the textbook. So that's how we know it, is the textbook. And it is a tool used for understanding God and the Bible, as well as for understanding Christ Jesus and his teachings and healings. Because Mrs. Eddy was adamant that no one break the first commandment, she established her church in the aforesaid manner to combat idolatry. She also addressed the issue of idolatry in two different messages to the Mother Church in both 1901 and 1902, saying, and I quote, "Follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ," end quote. Thereby, she placed their thought back on Christ Jesus and his teachings and healings, knowing as she did that the Christ put God first always. The life of Christ Jesus, his words and works are precious to every Christian Scientist. Through his teachings and the resulting healing of sickness, sin, and death, lives are made whole. There are hundreds of thousands of verified healings of sickness, sin, and death recorded in the Christian Science periodicals, That would be the Christian Science Sentinel, the Christian Science Herald, and the Christian Science Journal. And these date from the late 1800s, and they are continuing through today. So we have a vast warehouse of wonderfully substantiated healings from understanding the Christ. What a legacy Christ Jesus' teachings have left for all of mankind to learn of, simply because a devout Christian woman was healed of internal injuries from a fall when she read the healing of Christ Jesus of the man with the palsied hand. That was the story she picked up when the doctor told her that, you know, there was no other help. And she read that story of the man with the palsied hand, and instantly she was healed. She had a sense of the allness of spirit and the nothingness of the material world. Following this healing, Mary Baker Eddy was stirred to learn how it was that her healing occurred and how Christ Jesus and his disciples healed during their day. Even though she was very knowledgeable of the Bible and Christ Jesus' healings, she began a 3-year-long deep study of the Bible to discover the answer. And when she got the answer, she named it Christian Science. She named it Christian Science because of the provable laws of God, which unfailingly resulted in her healing sickness, sin, and death. It is no wonder that her dedication to God and his Son, Christ Jesus, was the most important thing in her life. It resulted in her ability to heal numerous people and to teach others how to heal. And it is through those healings recorded in the Christian Science periodicals, as well as present-day healings, that Christian scientists can attest to the fact that the Christ is forever here and near, as Mrs. Eddy said in her lovely Christmas poem. We find the word science in both the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, and in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. In Daniel, we read in verses 3 and 4, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace." Now, in this verse, Strong's reference book refers to the word science in Hebrew as consciousness, intelligence, knowledge, thought. So we could say with that last verse, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding consciousness. Or we could say understanding thought, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. This is the manner in which Mrs. Eddy was looking at the word science. Now, in 1 Timothy, I think it comes even closer. This is verses, chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. This is that letter from Paul. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, in this verse, Strong's translates the Greek word for science into knowing or knowledge. And so it would read, avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of knowledge falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So you can see that science is used in the Bible, and it is with the purest of notions that she used this, with it being a spiritual concept and not a material concept. Science with a capital S standing on its own, you know, with science standing on its own with the capital S, refers to the all-knowing or omniscient mind, God. So we can say that Christian science is the study or understanding of God's Christ and his laws of healing. Now we're going to take a little break, and in a few minutes we'll be back again talking about why Christian science is Christian and not a cult. You're listening to Walk. Be back in a minute.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Vocally Studio Supplies, where you buy your vocal studio supplies for a song. Find our webpage at www.vocallystudiosupplies.net, where you can learn more about the vocal technique and products offered. Then, shop us at www.vocallystudiosupplies.com, where we have a variety of products, including books, posters, CDs, sheet music, breath control aids, and complete teaching packages. Vocal E Studio Supplies. Professional tools equal professional results. Visit vocallystudiosupplies.com and .net today. The Christian Science Practitioner's Office is here for you for Christ-centered healing. Matthew 19:26 says, all things are possible with God. Call area code 504-833-5511 for healing. Also, check out these websites for reliable information on Christian Science. In New Orleans, visit www.christiansciencenewOrleans.org. In other parts of Louisiana, visit www.christiansciencelouisiana.com or see the national website at www.christianscience.com. Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Listening to Walk. To reach Patty Compton Christopher, send us an email to walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. That is walkradiovoiceamerica@gmail.com. Now, back to Walk.
This is Walk, and this is Patty Compton Christopher. We've been talking about why Christian science is Christian and not a cult. And if you've tuned in late, just want to reiterate that Christian science has nothing to do with Scientology. I love the first paragraph of Science and Health because in it, Mrs. Eddy uses many references to the Christmas story. It goes like this, quote, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. The wakeful shepherd beholds the first faint beams, ere cometh the full radiance of a risen day. So shone the pale star to the prophet shepherds. Yet it traversed the night and came where, in cradled obscurity, lay the Bethlehem babe, the human herald of Christ truth, who would make plain to benighted understanding the way of salvation through Christ Jesus. Till across a night of error should dawn the morning beams and shine the guiding star of being. The wise men were led to behold and to follow this day star of divine science, lighting the way to eternal harmony. I'd like to also read to you the tenets of the Mother Church as found in the Christian Science Manual and the Church Manual. I think this will give you a very clear idea of what Christian Science is. One, as adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. Two, we acknowledge and adore one supreme and infinite God. We acknowledge His Son, one Christ, the Holy Ghost, or Divine Comforter, and man in God's image and likeness. Three, we acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin in the destruction of sin, and the spiritual understanding that casts out evil as unreal. But the belief in sin is punished so long as the belief lasts. Four, we acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine, efficacious love unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus, the way-shower. And we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death. Five, we acknowledge that the crucifixion of Jesus and His resurrection served to uplift faith to understand eternal life, even the allness of soul, spirit, and the nothingness of matter. Six, and we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. Now that gives you as clear a thought about Christian Science as you can get. Of course, you can read Science and Health, and that'll give you the best thought. I'd like to read to you one other thing. Well, two things from the Christian Science Sentinel. It's the December 1972 issue of the Christian Science Sentinel. And this particular couple of passages from this article is called Replacing the Santa Claus Myth. And it's by Glenn W. McCullough. And it is, of course, it says these are for the parents. So they were particular about making sure that the parents handled this in their own way. And the beginning goes, speaking of joyful Christmas celebration for children, Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, writes, let it continue thus with one exception, that children should not be taught to believe that Santa Claus has aught to do with this past time. That's the end of that quote. And he continues, if we tell a child there is a real Santa Claus and later tell him there is no Santa Claus, aren't we actually training him to believe that deception is acceptable? In Proverbs, we read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Later on in the article, he says, to give happiness to our children is a right motive. And Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. But pretending, that's the end of that quote, but pretending that there's a Santa Claus interferes with our efforts. Why? Because being dishonest, even in seemingly small matters, and influencing children in some degree to believe that deception is acceptable, doesn't promote happiness. Christian Science teaches that true happiness is spiritual and comes from God, the great giver of all good. The Santa Claus figure may well serve as a colorful decoration and useful symbol of festivity and joy. But young children need not be told that Santa is a real person who brings them gifts in order for them to be happy. To be enjoyable, gifts do not need to appear mysteriously. Though there is no Santa Claus, there is a spirit of giving, of sharing, and generosity that young children as well as parents can express. Christmas should not be just a time when children receive things. When a family puts special emphasis on expressing the Christ, the spirit of love, children will find practical ways for sharing their love with their relatives, friends, and neighbors. And then later on he says, our children will thank us for this firm basis of thinking and feeling. As whole families work together for good, God's perfect spiritual kingdom, evidenced in on earth peace, goodwill toward men, is brought nearer the hearts of mankind. Let's replace the deceptive myth that there's a real Santa Claus with the true understanding of Christmas as the coming of the Christ truth, which enriches all our lives. I think that's a beautiful article, and it was well written and well handled, and this is how we all teach our children in Christian Science. I have a wonderful testimony I'd also like to share from the same Sentinel, and it's a testimony of healing. This man writes, old-time recollections take me to Miami, Florida. The doctor there, the only one at the time, was a friend of the family. He said, quote, I regret I can do no more for your wife. She will pass on very soon, end quote. On hearing this, I had such thoughts as, what a strange world. My life companion is to die, and I, with three small children, am to be left without anything that can be done. A neighbor said, I know a woman who has a book that is said to be helpful in solving problems. I think I can borrow it. She did, and my wife and I read some of it, but did not understand it at first. However, it appealed to us, and we procured a copy. The book was Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, and we both studied it diligently, with the result that my wife was completely healed within 3 months. That is how Christian Science came into our lives, when we studied that borrowed copy of Science and Health. This was in the year 1900. Now keep in mind, this article, this testimony was written in 1972. My wife spent nearly 50 years of activity in Christian Science. She raised our three sons to manhood. They also are active workers for the cause of Christian Science. I have continued to remain active and have now reached the age of 103 years. As stated by our local newspaper, I look no older than a man of 70 and credit this long human life to Christian Science. The promise expressed in the 91st Psalm, verses 15 and 16, are fulfilled in me. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This testimonial was written by Henry C. Hendrickson of Eustis, Florida. What a wonderful testimony of healing that is. I hope that my explanation of why Christian Science is Christian and not a cult has helped to dispel any myths you may have heard. I encourage you to get a copy of Science and Health and begin to read it for yourself. Now, don't be discouraged if at first you don't understand everything you read. Just persevere and make sure you have your dictionary and Bible close at hand. You will gain a greater understanding of God and His Christ, and it will heal you of whatever it is that ails you. Now, next week, our subject will be the garment of the Christ, no rent nor tear. So tune in next week. It has been my good pleasure to bring you this healing word today, and I remind you that with God, all things are possible. Further, let's remember that God's word goeth out in righteousness and doth not return unto him void, but he maketh it to prosper in the thing wherein he hath sent it. So prosper, y'all. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in today to Walk. Patty Compton Christopher will be back again next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Central Time, and noon Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. This week, take hold of Christ's healing power and change your life.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.